Well, now to a cautionary tale, really, of the limits that do still exist, even if you're one of the most powerful families in the world, namely the Murdochs. A reminder that aggressive positioning in politics can have consequences in business, as the family discovered during two separate bids to take over BSkyB, British Sky Broadcasting, within the last decade. 2017, in fact, marked a turning point for Rupert Murdoch. By this time, News Corp had split into two different companies, and it was 21st Century Fox, with James Murdoch, his son, at the helm, which set its sights on the BSkyB takeover. But this was just the final chapter in a long story that's now been captured in a new book entitled The Battle for Sky, The Murdochs, Disney, Comcast and the Future of Entertainment. It's written by the London Daily Telegraph's deputy business editor, Christopher Williams. It's more than an account of what's been described of as the most dramatic takeover battle in British corporate history. It's really about the end of an era and the efforts by the media conglomerates of our time to navigate a rapidly changing media landscape. Christopher Williams joins me this morning from London. Christopher, hello and welcome.
Thanks very much for having me.
Look, it seems to me that this is the study of rise and not fall so much as a certain plateauing of Sky and the Murdoch family, which naturally you can imagine we do follow here in Australia. Could you tell me a bit about how Sky came to establish itself as Britain's dominant pay TV operator, first of all under a man called Tony Ball, and then under James Murdoch?
Yeah, I mean, when you think about Sky in the UK, you think about the company that really invented pay TV in the UK. Before Sky, there was no industry, really. It was established in the late 80s alongside a rival. It quite quickly beat and subsumed that rival. And then in the 2000s, it came up against opposition from ITV, from a cable network, which is now called Virgin Media, which Richard Branson's involved in, from BT, which is British Telecom. And each of those battles it is essentially won and survived just through sheer aggression. And, you know, it's very well run. And it exercises power in a way that rivals find very hard to compete with.
Yes, the company had this culture of ruthlessness, didn't it? You write that, and I'm quoting you now, Sky's early fight for survival had confirmed a kill or be killed mentality that persisted even as it became the biggest beast in the jungle. It was always more aggressive than any company in British broadcasting, with an attitude described by insiders and rivals alike as, throw rocks at our house and we'll napalm your village. Now, I want you to discuss that, but it did ultimately produce its own checks and balances, that whole approach, didn't it?
That is one of the things that I try to really draw out in the book, is that Sky is a company in the UK that really defines itself by who are we fighting, you know, who's our nemesis, and that's how it motivates and pushes itself on. You know, it's gone through all those things in the past. I'd say that it's in the process of finding a new enemy at the moment. It's probably going to be Amazon. But what that meant is it made a huge number of enemies along the way. And the two times the Murdochs tried to take full control of the company, that caused them huge problems.
So, I mean, he made an enemy of Richard Branson, for instance, in the battle over ITV. But perhaps more importantly, he also made an enemy of Ed Richards, who was the then chief. This is the first effort at takeover. The then chief executive of Ofcom, which is the UK's communications regulator. Now, what would have been their attitude to regulators up till then?
Well, clearly, Sky's history was it set itself up against the establishment, you know. There were lots of opposition to it ever being established in the first place. And, you know, it always saw itself as challenging the people who really run the country in the eyes of the Murdochs, which is civil service, public school boys, all that kind of stuff. Mm. Now, Ed Richards was a Labour Party official. He played a big role in drawing up some media ownership laws in the early 2000s. Which was specifically designed to target the Murdochs and prevent them gaining much more control than they already had. He went on to become the chief executive of Ofcom, which was the media regulator. and he got to use his own laws. And so they'd made it. James Murdoch in particular clashed very aggressively with Ed Richards, and they made a big enemy there, but one with powers and with the willingness and the political clout to use them.
Yes, I mean, it's just very interesting that, for instance, James Murdoch gave this controversial McTaggart lecture in 2009, in which, against all advice, he controversially ended. This is when he's trying to smooch people, you know, seduce them. He controversially ended on the line, quotes, "The only reliable, durable and perpetual guarantor of independence is profit." This certainly, I suppose he was honest, but it certainly wasn't designed to win friends and influence people, was it?
No, and this is a view of my own, but it's a big tactical mistake. And that's the view of a number of people in Sky as well. So he made that speech within sort of 6 months of the first News Corp bid for Sky. And what it did was set the entire broadcasting industry against him. So there were a large number of attacks on the BBC in that, which the BBC has historically stayed out of commercial takeover type things and the commercial side of media. But the way that he went after the BBC in that speech, and he indicated that they would like to politicise Sky News, it created a huge amount of concern around that first bid.
Okay, so what happened then after that? What happened to that first 2010 bid?
The first bid for Sky, which was by News Corp before the split, that fell apart as a result of phone hacking. And there was political elements to that, one of which was the entire, almost an unprecedented coalition of the rest of the British media that included the BBC, my newspaper, various other newspapers, the whole of Fleet Street, essentially, lined up for the first time against the Murdochs and were instrumental in stopping that first bid.
And can I just ask you quickly, why? Why would you say that, Christopher?
Because at the time, I think everyone felt there was a major commercial threat from a combination of Sky and the Murdoch papers in the UK, the way that would allow them to cross-promote and the lack of diversity that would have in media ownership in the UK. I think that caused huge amounts of concern across the political spectrum, actually.
Mm. But it didn't really take long for the Murdochs to bid again, did it? By late 2013, they'd decided that Sky would buy Sky Italia and Sky Deutschland, and they were planning an audacious $80 billion takeover of Time Warner. So these manoeuvres and where it led them, just summarise that for us if you can, because they were just of such a scale.
So they had spotted that scale was the path to the future, you know, that with the rise of the Silicon Valley giants, that for a media company to be able to stand up to them in any way, enormous size was going to be important and global scale. So the Time Warner bid was an early attempt to consolidate Hollywood, essentially. Now, it didn't work out for them. They couldn't get an agreement on price. And when it came to it last year, after AT&T had bought Time Warner, it came down to Fox not being big enough to compete, and they made a decision, which was probably the right one, to sell up, and they managed to generate a bidding war for their assets and came away with a huge pile of money.
Yes, this second takeover with James again right in the middle of the fray via 21st Century Fox was about 6 months before the extraordinary decision by his father to sell out to Disney. I'd like to ask you, did the Murdochs misread the political environment? Because in the between that came Brexit, came Theresa May's disastrous early election call, and of course Fox News by then had become infamous or famous, however you see it, for being sort of blatantly political. So all of this, did they just think this wouldn't matter?
I think they did. I think they thought the world had changed. You know, the split of News Corp had changed things, the way in which the web has created a huge diversity of news sources. They thought that would get them over the line this time. You know, I think that was terrible advice that they took, and they sort of heard what they wanted to hear, when in fact, the fact is, if you're the Murdoch family, you're always going to be treated differently. And it may be just, it may be unjust, but that's the reality of it. You're going to be treated differently to a normal company.
But also,
because of the way we've exercised power over 50 years in this country.
Well, yes, but also people like Ed Miliband, who was defeated, you know, in the general election and really humbled, actually, for Labour. He basically regrouped, as it were. He tabled the Commons motion that triggered the collapse of the News Corp bid for Sky. So, again, it's a very interesting example of attack dog tactics missing some vital detail.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, no one expected the election result that happened, so the loss of the Conservatives' majority in Parliament, but it was there as a risk and it wasn't really factored in. And that gave Ed Miliband and Vince Cable and a group of people that have got long-standing problems with the way the Murdochs have operated in this country much more impetus, a much louder voice in the regulatory process. Mm. And they were able to slow things down to the point where it allowed Comcast to come in, basically.
Look, I must say, I was thinking of the television series Succession while I was reading this book, that amazing television series, 10-part series, which I just finished watching, which is allegedly based on the Murdoch Empire with this extraordinary man at its helm, sort of a bit of a monster, really, and the siblings pitted against each other. And did anything like that occur to you?
The Succession definitely is based on the Murdochs. You know, it's very difficult as a journalist to get inside the dynamics of a family like that. But there are things that I was able to find out about how it all went down. And one of them is that, you know, Lachlan, who's the eldest son, is now essentially in charge of everything. He did not want to sell Fox to Disney. He wanted to keep the big company together. But James and Rupert, you know, won out in that fight. But what you've seen since is a split in the family, really. You know, everyone's taking their money and doing their own thing.
And of course, the view here is that Lachlan is actually more conservative than his father. And he's, you know, that's a sort of considerable.
Yeah. I mean, this is the fascinating thing about what's going to happen, because James has taken his money out and he's obviously socially, at least, very liberal and has got a point to make. So everyone will be watching what he does with his money, basically. So,
you know. Watch this space. Mm. Look, we've long been fascinated, final question, Christopher, by the Murdoch Empire as this behemoth, particularly coming as it does originally from Australia. But you write that, quotes, the new titans of media come from Silicon Valley and have international reach and financial clout that the Murdoch family and even Comcast cannot hope to match. And some have suggested, Christopher, that's the end of your quote, that this will mean the likes of Sky building alliances where they would once have been unthinkable, maybe even with public broadcasters like the BBC, against the internet companies. Now, do you see this happening?
Absolutely. It's very interesting and amusing to watch, actually. You know, Sky, which has spent decades attacking the broadcasting ecosystem, now looking for friends, you know, and moving from a space where it was ideologically opposed to pretty much regulation in all its forms to one where it's calling for the likes of Google, Facebook and Apple to be regulated to protect its business.
Yes, indeed. Things get curiouser and curiouser. Look, thank you very much indeed for putting it all together. It's quite an amazing twist and turning story, but I appreciate all your efforts. Thank you.
No, thank you.